When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed. Call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and laundry machine, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, Samuel L. Chang.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
Yeehaw! Woohoo! Howdy, partners, it's me, Gun Safety Dwight. And now I'm the rootinest. I can't do this.
I love how he does Gun Safety Dwight.
I can't do this.
Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week, after we discuss our main topic, we're going to do an extended conference room with some listener emails and voicemails, and then we're going to do a listener-provided trivia, as usual. This week, we're talking about Dwight as manager. We're going to cover a few episodes talking about times when Dwight becomes the manager or acting manager and the arc as a whole.
This question kind of sums up a number of kind of what-if questions about the show, which is, what if Michael got that corporate job at the end of season three and Dwight had stayed the manager for longer than, 10 minutes? What if Dwight had gotten the job at the end of season seven going into season eight? Just those different times where we get to see Dwight actually at the helm of the Scranton branch and what that means for his character.
And answers the question, what does fascism look like in an office?
Jeez, yeah, no kidding. yeah, we'll cover several episodes. I think mainly The Coup, season 3, episode 3. The Job, episode 24, 25 of season 3. Dwight K. Schrute, acting manager, season 7, episode 24. Mm-hmm. And then Living the Dream, season 9, episode 21, kind of through the end of the show, right? AARM and the finale after that. But yeah,
you always say AARM because in my head I just say arm when I look at that episode.
I do say arm in my head. Yeah, I can't think really not read it that way.
You do. Okay.
I figure we can start at the beginning, The Coup, season 3, episode 3. So this episode, this is when Dwight tells Jan that he can save the branch by, quote, getting rid of waste, which is half the people there. Clean house. That's what he's ordering a huge breakfast to.
It's all for me. This is where the seeds are planted, right? This is the episode where Dwight is incepted, if you will, if he's given the idea of that he could be a greater manager,
right? By Angela.
And it's not totally clear before this episode that like he's gunning for that spot. I think it's implied, but this is the first time he is overtly seeking. To be like, I should be the manager of this. And it's not so much he wants to take Michael down. Like, he wants Michael to move on to the different job. He just wants to fill in that role, right?
I mean, he's ready for he doesn't really care in the end. He's allows for Michael to be demoted and treats him as a lesser than after that.
Yeah, that does switch pretty fast over the car.
He struggles with the decision at first, but once he goes for it, he's all in.
It's a natural sort of place for Dwight to net out, where we've seen Dwight as Michael's best friend and number two for so long, but Dwight cares so intensely about the paper industry and about Dunder Mifflin that it makes sense that if you see Michael wasting all this time and all these resources and hours in the day, that he would want some sort of something to change. even if it doesn't necessarily mean that Michael goes away forever or that Michael moves on to sales or whatever it is, that like he wants to be the captain of the ship.
It's a loose plot line for the entire series. Like it's the hero's journey over the course of this entire show. It's like Dwight wanting to be manager is like the, you know, the F storyline that never goes away in the background of every single episode.
The problem with
always there.
The problem with the Dwight version of the heroic cycle is that his mentor figure is Michael Scott. And that the magical world that he enters is Dunder Mifflin.
I know. And his enemy is Jim Halpert.
Shrewd like Farms feels like a much more magical world.
Oh, for sure.
Of course, if we're talking about the heroic cycle as portrayed in the Joseph Campbell book, Hero with a Thousand Faces.
Yeah, that's a little prep reading for this episode. If you want to pause this episode, read that, come back.
And see how it
you'll
does.
You'll have a much better grounding.
And see how it only kind of applies to Dwight, but we're running with it.
I think this is
I love when they do that. I just like, pause it here, go listen to our old episode, and then come back. No, I'm not going to do that.
I think this is certainly, like, I think we already know at this point in the show that Dwight will go mad with power anytime he's given a little bit. But it also, of course, leads to him just treating Michael so badly. And then finally, I love when Michael's like, okay, let's go tell the troops. And like Dwight's like, when I'm ready, Mike.
It immediately switches from Michael to Mike.
Yeah, yeah.
The shift is so fast. And it tells you just a lot about what just Dwight's mindset about the world is and mm-hmm. about himself is that he immediately drops all of these facades he's been holding up for Michael. You know,
right.
It's like, you told me you liked it when they're talking about the car. It's a ridiculous choice for this climate. He's like, you're stupid. He's basically just like, Michael, you're an idiot. Please go away now.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, he's just been waiting in the wings this whole time. And we start to see who Dwight really is in that moment.
In the healthcare episode in season one, Jim says, wow, this is so sad. This is the smallest amount of power I've ever seen go to anyone's head. And that essentially happens again and again and again when Dwight gets a glimpse of that managerial power. It all goes to his head immediately. And he paints the office black or does whatever he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, too, like, for some reason, Dwight feels that he needs to be cruel if he's going to be in charge.
I think he's grew up with, he equated power with fear.
Yeah.
I assume, based on how he was raised.
Learn your rules. You've got to learn your rules.
I also love in this episode when, you know, Angela, of course, is sort of the Lady Macbeth to Dwight in this scenario and convinces him to do this, even though he maybe doesn't want to at first. But then later when they're in the break room, and she's saying, we can make a difference here. And he says, I will make a difference here. And she's like, I thought that we, he's like, don't be naive.
I always say this, but covert conversations between Dwight and Angela.
That's
one of my favorite bits in the show.
Where they're both standing facing the same direction or back to back or break left.
I know. Like, the tasks that they're doing are very menial. And we see, too, in this one, when Michael finally announces, all right, well, you're now acting manager, and I am assistant regional manager. First thing Dwight says is assistant to the regional manager.
Oh, yeah. So it's like, Michael does deserve that one.
He does.
It is fun with the coup to kind of see Michael and Dwight coexisting in that space, because every other time it's the underlying thing that Michael is leaving. So to see him try to coexist and to see how Dwight would actually treat Michael if he were the manager is so funny. Because like, I think even in the job, Michael plays that song, na 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 na, and he walks out. And the first thing that Dwight does is stop the tape recorder, slap his name on the door, and says, who's ready to work?
By the way, this is an episode idea for later, speaking of the coup, before we move on, but at some point, if we have the amount of prep time, we should do a fantasy draft of just scenes, which would be very, very difficult. Mm. But there's a couple from the coup that I think are first round draft picks. But that's for another time.
Before we move on from the coup, I think the other thing to highlight is the way that Dwight shows his penance by begging for forgiveness.
When he stands up and there's just that drool coming out of his mouth. And then Michael says, hug it out, bitch.
The tag at the end of this episode of this shot of Dwight standing there with the liar draped around his neck. That image, if I would love to get that like a high resolution poster made of that frame of him just standing there. I don't know. There's something about that shot that's so funny to me.
It's a funny precursor to later when Gabe tries to suspend Jim, Pam, and then Dwight.
Mm-hmm.
Dwight says, this is how you apologize. Gabriel, I take your hand.
And it's like this old school punishment that Dwight would respect. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to stand here with a liar sign. Like, it's medieval.
Laundry machine.
Hold that dropout for today. And then I'm glad you put it in your job title.
Yeah. One of my favorite lines. Favorite deliveries by Michael Scott. Well, let's move on to The Job. This is the end of season 3, episodes 24 and 25. This is when, of course, Michael is interviewing for the job at corporate to take Jan's job, which he doesn't know that that's what it's for. Which Ryan brought up a great point, too. How come they all don't know that this is for Jan's job? Like, what
do they? I thought Michael just didn't figure it out.
Maybe that's probably true, but yeah. We get Michael giving Dwight the letter before he's even gotten his new job. Congratulations, A wipe. Don't screw the pooch. Totally. Is that all the piece of paper says? I feel like that's all it says.
The little face Michael makes is kind of playful about it. It's great.
And then Michael goes, you know, he sells his condo on eBay for like 80% of what he bought it for. And then at the end of the episode, there's a throwaway line where he's like, this is really going to hurt my eBay seller profile.
Oh, dude. We should do an episode on Michael's financial intelligence at some point, too. You're going to be paying this off when you're 60. No, not 60. I forget what age he says. But this is like, again, in neither of these episodes is Dwight actually manager yet. We're just sort of seeing the drive that exists in Dwight to become manager in these episodes, right? So these are laying the groundwork for what comes later for sure. But Dwight will take his shot whenever he's allowed to.
Yeah.
No doubt.
You know, in the coup, we don't see too much of Dwight like making new rules and stuff like that. He's kind of just mistreating Michael more than anything else, and just being really like overly confident. But in The Job, we actually get to see some of his new ideas. We get Shroot Bucks. We get no more meetings, instead lectures on how paper is made, and kind of just a little bit of
Pennsylvania topsoil.
Yeah, right. A little bit of Dwight's fascist tactics.
Tendencies. Right?
Big painting of him on the wall, things like that.
paints his office black, or the manager's office black.
That's right.
I will say there is something amazing that I wish we could have seen a little bit more of. We see it in little doses in season 3, but that version of Dwight as manager with the power all to his head, and that version of Andy as number 2.
Yes.
Save the best for first. That version of Andy is such a funny number 2.
Save the best for first.
I will see you at the interview. His line delivery is so sing-songy at the time, like
Dwight does
Andy
do
for manager?
Dwight does do something right though, this time around as being manager. He makes Pam his secret assistant to the regional manager. Which proves to be a good idea. She's got his back, even if it's just for her own entertainment.
I do love at the end of the Shroot Buck scene when I think Pam and Dwight like share a look.
Yeah.
And Oscar says, "What was that?"
Super Dwight.
Yeah. And the other characters in the office are picking up on this kind of stuff because it would probably be very obvious between Dwight and Pam.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
Or that Angela is sitting there mouthing along to Dwight's paper lecture, or like nodding when he gives the, what would you say is the most important element? Probably phosphorus. Wrong.
Yeah.
Probably I know it. And right? Angela's already shaking her head, yes, and kind of
exactly.
Smirking.
Yeah.
I mean, this both in the coup and in the job, we're seeing Dwight. He loves, you know, he loves the kind of statecraft cloak and dagger, sending people behind, you know, like figuring out information. Mm-hmm. He loves the game of this, or that's how he sort of approaches this whole thing. Not the very sanitized corporate structure that it actually exists in. Like, it's much more boring than he wants it to be, right? And we see this, like, I don't know. There's him and Angela have another
I know what you're talking about, yes.
When he's just like, how would you like to spend the night with the new regional manager of Dunder Mifflin? It's
no, Dwight, like, I don't care if that's how they consolidated power in ancient Rome.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Michael. Me. Yeah, and it ends with that, goodbye, Kelly Kapoor.
Yeah.
It's just very, it's just dripping in all this intrigue and sort of
power
dynamics at play. And Dwight loves it.
Brute.
And
Angela loves it
too. Yeah, they really bond over that for sure.
Dwight loves intrigue. Yeah.
Loves it. What Dwight wants in life is such a good motivator for the series. And they go back to that well time and again, right? Over and over and over. And the fact that there's so many different episodes revolving around Dwight wanting to be manager before he actually is speaks to that. And so these episodes in the early seasons are like just great at paving the path for Dwight.
One thing that's interesting about this too, at least in the job specifically, is that Dwight doesn't undo, like, he doesn't ruin it by himself. He doesn't make a mistake or fire a gun or whatever it is to undermine himself. It's just the Michael wreaks more havoc once again.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And later, when I am ruining everything, you're going to wish I was on your side.
I know. It's the most prescient Michael has ever been. Beautiful.
Anything else on the job? Any other thoughts on the job?
I mean, as an episode, yes, but not as far as Dwight becoming manager.
Then let's jump ahead to Dwight K. Schrute, acting manager, season 7, episode 24. So, of course,
Dwight Schrute is manager!
That is from, that one is from Live in the Dream. But
it is, but I just had to announce
the sentiment
it.
Rings true.
That is great. Yeah. So of course this is right after Michael Scott leaves the show. We get Joe asks Jim to be the acting manager, and Jim turns it down because he thinks that everyone's doing a good job managing themselves. He doesn't want to ruin it. And so Joe says, okay, and calls Dwight up directly in a great cold open.
Great camera work. Yeah. The shift from Jim to just when Dwight knows what it is as it rings.
Yeah.
And he doesn't turn his head. He turns his entire body towards the phone and stares at it for a sec.
And then just Dwight's slow walk to the office. And Jim's like, wait,
wait,
can't even get the words
what
out.
What have you done? Yeah.
It strikes me as a funny flip of when in St. Patrick's Day, when Dwight is about to tell Joe that he has a sales call with a client, and Jim calls Joe, and right as Dwight is about to speak, Joe puts up one finger and takes the call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Dwight suddenly has nothing to say. It feels like the exact flip of that, where all of a sudden Dwight is in power and Moe's lets out.
I love because like this implies that both of them have been waiting for this news for a long time,
right?
And that my guess is this is the only time he's called Moe's from the office, because he knows when I call you from the office it means only one thing.
Yeah.
Just that I am the manager. And I don't know why Moe's would have such investment in that, but he does.
We get full fascist Dwight right away. He's got the old time clock that Jim demonstrates can like chop a pencil in half. He
is just the size of a finger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's got all the, he invents all these cost saving rules, staggered lunches, cups of coffee are 50 cents each on the honor system.
The camera,
the surveillance state.
Yeah. I love that it says honor system and then there's a camera. Yeah.
Right.
Then don't forget the painting, the most fascist thing there.
The painting.
Like right in the entrance.
The Schrute bucks, his own form of currency.
The large business cards. Everyone's title is now junior employee.
That's right.
The killer fish.
The samurai motif in his office.
The Uday Hussein replica desk. Yeah.
He walks around with a weapon. Also very fascist.
Right. He gets it. He gets his. He gets his holster from Great Uncle Honk.
Yeah.
And of course, he must carry a gun around in it. He actually. They do convince him to put a banana in it instead. But as he removes the gun, he flips it around and fires a gun in the office. And now everyone is blackmailing him.
Oscar finds hardwood again.
Right.
For the first time.
For the first time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the first time. Sorry, you're right. Really quick, too. I wanted to mention, you mentioned the piranha, and the piranha is a rescue, which Dwayne
Glass right.
Which is a great touch.
Yeah, so Dwight's cruelty and his idea to rule the office using fear backfires, literally, on him. And now he is being blackmailed by everyone. He has to knead Kevin like a pizza.
Under the jacket.
He has to say Shagadelic baby. And do jazz hands whenever he can. And I think it's
guess
it's
like Kelly go to her American Idol audition.
That's right.
Why did my temporary boss go on a shooting spree?
It's that moment when Joe says, "Isn't it nice to have a little bit of power?" That he's like, "Oh yeah, that was the whole point of this, and now I don't have any power."
Yeah, that's so he makes the admission to her.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, what does he say? Unless you think blackmail is worse. This is way worse. Shooting a gun is way worse.
When Joe comes in, and she's just like, "Are you crazy?" Like, she actually has a real world response to if you shot a gun off in an office. Whereas, mm-hmm. A lot of the things that happen in the office, the way they react is for the show, not in real life. This is pretty real life for Joe. Just like, "You're crazy. You're out of here. You shot a gun in the office. You're like, come on."
Really, he should have been fired. It was very nice of her to just demote him.
He should be in legal trouble. He should get a slap on the wrist, but he's a junior deputy. So
I think, too, one thing that's interesting here is Ryan says in the conference room after Dwight tries the gun safety thing, Ryan says, why should we protect you? Why are we obligated to do that? And he's like, "Cause you guys are my best friends. And if you don't, I'll destroy you."
I will burn that place to the ground.
Yeah. There's an element of that. Which is interesting because compared to later on in the show, when Dwight is on better terms with everyone, he seems to be more accepted as a manager.
Yes. That's right. I mean, and this one too, when people are like, as soon as he messes up, people are like, "Yeah, this is what we thought would happen." And Dwight, also in a very fascist sense, immediately just starts to work the sort of misinformation, like weird legal things of being fired, where he's like, did anyone see the bullet leave the gun? Like, he starts to question everyone, and like, he really wants to obviously keep his job, but I think he knows what he did
is
fireable, and he's done. But he's, for a while, when he's kind of floating to, or he's kicking to stay on top here, it's leads to the gun safety Dwight, which is a very Michael Scott thing to do, which is like, something happens in the office and he's never proactive about it, and instead he has a conference to address what he just did so that everyone will still like him. And so he tries it with this thing and plays into the B storyline quite well with this episode when asking, like, "Oh really, what hand was I holding the gun? What did Andy's tie look like?" And Aaron's just like, "Navy blue, little red anchors." And because Gabe is trying to stop Andy and Aaron getting together in this episode also.
Right. I also love that all of this is juxtaposed with Toby's genuine excitement about using new human resources for us.
Oh, it's the best. "Oh, I should get the accident report binder. I've never used the gun violence."
Well, then someone says, "Does this qualify as a terrorist incident?" And somebody says, I felt terrorized. And Toby's like, "There's a different section on that.
There's a whole other form for that."
Yeah, he perks right up. Yeah.
Well, Well, finally, we get to...
Before we move on from this episode all the way, I think one thing that's interesting comparing this to the coup is that Dwight's reasoning for wanting to take over the branch in the coup was that he wanted to save the branch. They were still worried about downsizing and consolidation. And right. In this episode...
He had the guts to fire people that Michael didn't.
Yeah. Well, in season 7, they begin with literally Jim saying, it turns out we don't need someone looking over our shoulder, that we can still get our jobs done, working kind of autonomously. And that's the shift in the show where the branch essentially works fine, almost in spite of what Michael does. Like David brings him up. Here's an attaboy for you. You know, what are you doing right? So when Dwight comes in, he just overexerts his power and it throws off the balance of everything. So everyone's kind of resentful of him.
Yeah.
But we can move on.
I love the 21 digit copier code.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great touch. And the tag of Kevin typing in his numbers is lovely. poor Dwight. So excited to have a Beaumont Adams, only for Joe to say, that's a girl's gun.
Not just stupid, yeah.
Just insult on injury for Dwight. Not doing great.
Well, let's move on to Live in the Dream, Season 9, Episode 21. So this is when we've got Andy Bernard is thinking that he's going to...
Dwight Schrute is manager!
There we go. Andy Bernard as manager, but thinking that he's going to move on to pursue acting or fame of any kind, which he does so successfully, despite everyone's expectations.
Imagine Andy on TikTok.
Oh my gosh! Yes, I can. But anyways, we have David Wallace now again in charge of Dunder Mifflin Scranton, he is getting ready to fire Andy and thinking about who he will replace him with. Dwight that day is getting his black belt ceremony in the office.
When I went back to watch these for prep, like it jumped in late in the episode where I'd left off last time, whatever. Mm-hmm. And he has that belt on, and I was like, "Why is
he wears it over his suit?"
Over his suit, yeah.
It was just funny to drop in with no context. I was like, "Oh yeah."
Turns out Sensei Ira was a bit of a shyster. Sensei Billy says that most students don't spend $150,000 over 20 years to get their black belt.
Oh my god.
I will say too, every time, like, we get like montages or shots of Dwight doing karate, it's always so funny.
So it's good, great.
Especially in the dojo, like in the fight in season 2 when he's doing it with the children, he's practicing alongside them.
Yeah,
and then this one when he's trying to break the board that Sensei Billy has. It's just, I don't know. It always makes me laugh.
I love when he's doing his kata forms and he at one point goes ah. And like he's just got a heart in his hand and he throws it away. He just looks at it, throws it away.
Basher, thrasher, thrasher, crasher, and smasher.
I love too. He goes up to Pam to like do something to her, and she's just like, and he just, she's just shaking her head no, and he moves on.
The bloopers for that scene are really, really funny. They all talk about how they're never going to get through it because everything that he does is so over-exaggerated. He, like, headbutts a fern at one point.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And all of them are breaking the whole time while he's doing it.
You gotta watch that. I haven't seen that. Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead, Alex.
I was going to say, just you mentioned Andy wanting to pursue fame and quitting and just, I just love the quick talking head of Creed of being like, I think just anyone can be a star. My postman, the night janitor here, but Andy? No, definitely not. Charisma black hole.
Charisma black hole.
Or that, like, David's reasoning for wanting to fire Andy, or part of it, was the printer that he got for headshots.
Right.
The little collection of headshots that they show are so ridiculous. Him as the nerd and the judge and the tennis player.
He's like, I was so distracted during my headshot shoot that I was going zany instead of manic. Or maybe that's the other way around.
Yeah, I think it's flipped, but yeah. Some days I can't even, I mix up my stage makeup and my work makeup. Right. I love when he just drops that for Jim and Jim, what?
Yeah. And Stanley said, Andy's from a generation that thinks they could all be famous. What happened to the generation that knew you shut up, did your work, and died quietly from a heart attack?
Well, this is great. You can spend a couple years pursuing your dream. And then Andy says, actually, I just applied for more overdraft protection. Aaron eventually says, we're worried you could starve.
Yeah, I'm worried you'll become homeless or starve.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. But okay, so back to Dwight.
Yes,
back to Dwight. Andy, so, but... so as Dwight is performing his kata forms, David Wallace is standing next to Sensei Billy. I think he says, like, asks him a question, like, and addresses him as Sensei Billy. And he's like, you can just call me Billy. He's like, Sensei Billy, do you normally do house calls? He's like, you can just call me Billy. And no, I don't. But Dwight wanted to get his black belt in the place that he loves most in the world, is what Billy reveals. And he says, he's like, he's an odd person, but he hasn't met many people who have the same level of tenacity and determination that Dwight does. So this impresses David Wallace. And then David calls.
We didn't know he shot a gun, by the way.
That was
that's right. He doesn't know that because he wasn't around.
Yeah,
Joe Bennett had his job at the time.
It's such a funny throwaway line too. David Wallace just says, "What?"
Yeah. I was an interim manager once, but then I shot that gun. What? And he pulls out his pre-made manager card.
Yeah. In case both Andy and Jim die on the same day when there's also a trade show happening.
They got killed in a traffic accident. There was a trade show.
The way that he exclaims yes and falls to his knees with his fists up in the air.
Yeah. That face really he makes with the
it's true triumph. I mean, that's Rainn Wilson doing a great job.
But what's really important here is right before all that, when David Wallace calls Jim into his office, into the conference room, to talk about the possibility of making Dwight manager, right? And Jim says it's a great idea. He thinks Dwight's the perfect person for the job. You know, David Wallace is kind of like, am I crazy for choosing Dwight? But outside, Dwight and Clark are talking, and they think that Clark is
Dwight,
like,
and Dwight Jr.
Yep, Dwight and Dwight Jr. Thank you. And Dwight Jr. thinks that that David Wallace is asking Jim to be manager. And Dwight truthfully says, you know, Jim would make a great manager. And that he couldn't be manager. Dwight can't be manager because he's just made too many mistakes. And I think Dwight, looking at himself like that, realistically for the first time, is a sign that he's changed a lot and maybe is now ready to be manager.
Yeah, it's an evolution of Dwight. We see this gradual evolution of Dwight. And I think there are two sort of underpinning competing factors for Dwight, which is love of the branch and the desire for power. And his desire for power overwhelms the love of the branch. Every other time he's got a glimpse of this kind of authority. Mm-hmm. But in this moment, when he comes in to become manager, he combines them both. Like, he uses his power responsibly, and with great power comes great responsibility. I'm sure Dwight types to that.
The first thing he does is give Jim his seat back and calls right. Clark an annex kid. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you're a bullpen. We'll give it a couple of years.
Yeah.
So he's like, I think that's a really good point, Edwin, is he's finally cares about the power less than running the branch well.
Right? Well, and then you get the juxtaposition of Andy, who is the manager and doesn't care at all about the branch. He says, he talks about he would have regrets if he was focused on his stupid paper company job. He says that to David Wallace.
Yeah.
Right.
And so Andy is so disdainful. I think that's part of the reason why we all turn on Andy so much as viewers, or I think that's a general sentiment that Andy kind of burns every bridge, and granted, he does it on purpose a little bit so that he can live his dream. Like Cortez burning the ships. Total dick move, but...
right.
But yeah, Andy doesn't care about the obvious, and I think that's what makes it difficult as a viewer to keep rooting for him in that episode.
This is the worst Andy that version of Andy in the whole show, pretty much. For that exact reason, just that he hates the Scranton branch, which we don't really, we can't sympathize with. Even Michael Scott, you know, loves the branch. Even Dwight loves the branch.
And even at the end of season 9, we see all the characters beginning, or many of the characters, at least, like, beginning to outgrow the office. Like, Andy clearly has, or at least doesn't want anything to do with it anymore. Jim and Pam are moving on to Austin, or they're getting ready to do that. Daryl as well. But Dwight is almost growing into that role of manager that he wasn't ready for before.
Totally. I mean, I just think back to when the coup that we talked about first, and his line about, you know, he's going to save the branch by getting rid of waste, which is half the people there, clean house, is so different than his approach later, which is that, you know, he makes a lot of he's a flawed person, and, you know, he should stand up for his employees and things like that. I mean, in the finale, I think it is when we get an incredible speech from Dwight about how much he appreciates each individual employee. I don't have the quote in front of me, but but I think that's the perfect example of how far he's come. And it's kind of a believable lesson that he would have learned, because he knows that without their trust and without their respect, he cannot do his job.
And you think, too, at the beginning of the finale, Dwight is in the car and he's talking about how they signed back the white pages and all these different things that he's done as manager. He fired Kevin and Toby. So he's not totally, he hasn't gone soft. He's still.
No.
Yeah.
But he did bring back Devin.
Yeah, that's right.
And he brings in some new faces, and he's doing the Japanese business practices where they're all doing, I think it's yoga, or, maybe it's I don't know what it is, but they're doing it in the parking lot.
Yeah,
before work.
Yeah.
Tai Chi, maybe.
Yeah, it kind of looks like Tai Chi, but
But they're all going along with it. Mm-hmm. Everyone seems to be participating in it, and the office seems much more peaceful. It's not as if Dwight is unleashing some crazy new initiative, and everybody's kind of bristling at it. And then, I mean, I think the last sort of piece of Dwight as manager is in ARM, when Jim and Dwight have their last sort of scheme together, where, you know, Jim is trying to get Dwight to be his own assistant regional manager. I do love the doors and the steam at the beginning of the episode.
Oh yeah.
Right protocol.
It's just harmless steam.
So I guess the assumption is Creed switched out the steam or something and put in some dry cleaning agents, because he's like, I'm saving a fortune on dry cleaning.
Oh, is that what we're supposed to? Oh, okay.
And that's why I feel like Dwight is like, this isn't the normal steam.
Oh, he's getting, I never thought about that. I thought it was much more harmful than normal.
I thought the joke was that, like, he's using the harmless steam and he'd like harmful steam, but he thinks that the harmless steam will still scare people. And then he gets scared by even the harmless steam.
I assumed he, like, Creed had done something and put in dry cleaning.
That makes sense too.
I thought it was harmful steam, that it was actually steaming him.
We have three different takes on that. Good job, guys. Good for us.
Wonder which one of us is right. Write into us and tell us who you think is right.
But they get, and they're doing the whole no nonsense thing.
How many
you
days?
Know, and it's a very, and it's a very, like, it's old Jim and Dwight, but now Dwight's the manager, and Dwight's in the number two role, and it's like this kind of funny thing. And Jim says, let's not get crazy and ruin our no nonsense recall, right? So, for instance, if you're expecting a fax today, please don't yell out Michael J. Fax from Fax to the Future. It's a funny dynamic between them, because it's like, it's just funny after all these seasons that they're sort of in this relationship at this point.
Yeah, that episode AARM is a lot less about Dwight as manager and a lot more about Dwight and Angela and Jim and Pam, and it's just a little less managerial, I guess.
Any final thoughts on Dwight as manager?
There are a handful of other episodes that kind of dip into this. I'm thinking of in Goodbye, Michael, when Dwight vindictively serves Michael the Rocky Mountain oysters. but then gets that letter from Michael that's actually very nice and very complimentary. Mm-hmm. Or in season 8 at the beginning, where he talks about not getting the manager job and doing all the different things that he's done, the Krav Maga, the boxing. Mm-hmm. When he's fighting with Nate, like the boxing scene is Nate trying to take punches and Dwight is just beating him up. It's really funny. You should go back and watch it. Plus the meditation, an hour at sunrise and another hour at sunset. Yeah. And then in the incentive following that, where Dwight is making brownies while Andy is like trying to pick his brain about what he can do. He's like, you wanted the job, you got the job, now do the job. And then he says, and I will do mine. He licks his finger. He says, now, let's add some walnuts. And Kevin from outside, no!
Because, of course, Kevin Malone, allergic to walnuts. Mm-hmm. Yep. Wait, there's just one line in Living the Dream when Kevin goes, Dwight's the new manager. He freaking did it. I just love that part. Alex, any other final thoughts?
You know, it says a lot that the show ends with Dwight as the manager. Mm-hmm. We talk about how important Dwight taking his job seriously is at the heart of the show and helps structure the entire show. It gives you a foundation to build the show on. And it's the perfect way to end it, is him getting what he desires. I still will not understand totally why Dwight, his biggest goal in life is to be the manager of this small office. But
some rinky-dink.
Rinky-dink paper company. But he did it. Yeah. And he's happy. And it works out.
Do you guys wish we got more Dwight as manager? Do you wish he got the job in season 8? Do you wish he could have had the job for a little bit longer at the end of season 3?
I think that it would have been more entertaining than a lot of what we got.
With Andy?
I agree.
Yeah. I think it would have been nice to see a little bit more of it. But he really did earn it by the time he got it.
We cut season 9 completely. You go halfway through season 8, get Andy out, have Dwight finish out the season. Mm-hmm.
It's a very difficult question because Andy obviously has so much more to – he cares – so he's much needier. He has a lot more that he's trying to get. His approval, his from his family and from Robert, California, and from his coworkers and stuff. Mm-hmm. And Dwight doesn't care about that nearly the same amount. Mm-hmm. Like, it might have been funnier, but I think you would have had less to explore, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also think, too, that Dwight's arc works a little better with him having to, like, overcome himself, like, being his biggest hurdle to actually being the job.
That's
and he
true.
Does that. As we watch the show again and again, Dwight remains to me the most interesting character and the one that you can come back to the most.
It's true.
Most definitely. Well, cool. Well, there you have it. Dwight as manager. Let's move on to conference room. 5 minutes.
Conference room. 10 seconds. All of you.
All right. We're going to do a little bit of a longer conference room. We've got a few questions and voicemails that we're going to go through to make up for our every other week November. So let's see. We got a listener email from Lucy. Okay. Unpopular opinion. I ultimately think Dwight should have ended up with Isabel. I mean, come on. She's O negative. But jokes aside, she really seems to enjoy Dwight in happy hour, and I think they should have been together. Also, side note, I think Andy and Aaron's relationship could have been fixed completely if Andy invited her on the boat trip. She wanted to go, and they probably would have had a good time. What do you think of this unpopular opinion that Dwight should have wound up with Isabel?
I don't know if he should have ended up with Isabel. I think it's better for him and for Angela if they ended up together. Mm-hmm. They're the couple from the beginning of the show. And it's like Angela getting over her pride and Dwight, you know, kind of getting what he wanted. Like them coming together.
Getting in touch with his heart.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Them like coming together at the end of the show is really, I think, fulfilling for both of their characters. I will say, however, I would have loved to seen Dwight and Isabel date a little bit longer because the element of Dwight dating Pam's like best friend was so funny. And the only time they really get into it is when, you know, Isabel's like, I'm going to go try to find Dwight.
Yeah. Okay. Wait, what? Yeah, where's the double date with Jim, Pam, Dwight, and Isabel? That would have been that's a fabulous episode that we never got to see.
Like a version of Dinner Party, but yeah, at Jim and Pam's house.
Mm-hmm.
It does as much work as they do to make Angela and Dwight make sense in the early seasons. It does make sense, but it does seem a little out of character. It does seem, I think, in real life, like Dwight would go after someone like Isabel more, just because he's so obsessed with like the biology of it.
A big family.
Yeah. Like he wants the genes that she, you know, he wants those genes more than like the relationship.
And that's about genes.
That feels very like calves. That feels very in line with Dwight. So yeah. I do agree with this question. I don't think this is that controversial. It just wouldn't make sense with the writing of the show to have them together.
I've heard it like expressed this way, that Isabel is the only like person that makes Dwight seem to act like a normal person, which I think is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But I prefer weird Dwight.
Yes.
Also, one of the reasons was like, what about Isabel or yada yada? And Dwight's like, oh, she's a dental hygienist from
Carbondale. You
know, Carbondale, and she makes love like one. It's a weird comment because
I know
it's a terrible comment, but also after in Niagara, like clearly they have a successful sexual encounter that obviously goes great, because then Dwight's like, I'm ravaged from a night of lovemaking when he's eating breakfast the next day. Like,
because he had to do all the work.
Yeah, couldn't have gone that bad. Like, come on, dude. You're eating a massive breakfast after this. Come on.
Yeah, I'm not hungry. I had some sunflower seeds while you were sleeping.
Anyway, yeah, good question.
Oh, my
good
God. Wait, this room is a pit. Really? Hadn't noticed. Was too busy knocking boots.
I'm not some farm animal.
Well, here's another. Thank you, Lucy. Here's another email. This one from Calum. Had a quick question for you. Maybe a good topic for y'all to discuss in the conference room. And here we are.
Maybe. Here we are.
What office gifts do you mostly use in text conversations with your friends and family? The Office has produced probably the most gift-worthy moments in TV history. And I was just curious what your favorite ones are. For me, Michael and Aaron celebrating with the champagne in the office is a favorite.
That's at the top of my recently used, actually.
That's a great one. Or the one where Michael does that amazingly painful grimace when he announces the Scranton branch is closing. Yeah, that's what he's like. This is the worst.
Yeah.
The worst. We are screwed. Also, side question, what office gifts do you think have helped elevate the show to such an iconic status within our society? Cool.
So what's the first part of the question?
So what are your favorite office gifts to use? I actually have a folder on my desktop called Reaction Gifts, and then within that is office gifts.
Wow.
And I don't know. I probably have like 35 in here.
I'm looking through my recently used just on my phone in the text, and four of them are office on the first page. One I have that I like using is Michael when he puts his two hands up when he's looking at Tobin. He says, "I'll kill you." I found that one pretty useful.
I got
when he hears the moment he hears the baby cry, and he does the happy when he's in the hospital. And he kind of does the face of like,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's just so expressive. That's a very useful one as well.
There's one with Dwight, and he's got his hand up by his face, and he just turns to the camera and goes, "It's true." And when the KGB waits for no one, and Jim slaps him. He just goes,
"Oh, yeah,
it's true."
Happy birthday one. I feel like I've used a lot.
Oh, where he's just like exploding out at people.
He's surprising people.
Yeah.
Also, we talked about the one where Dwight throws his fists up in the air and the black belt on. That's a very, I use that one a lot. We use a lot in our text thread that we use to coordinate the show.
Oh, big time. I use Dwight saying thank you while crying a lot, which is another moment when he becomes manager. Or if someone doesn't text
Michael
you.
Michael going, pew, 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 pew.
Oh, yeah. With the finger guns? Yeah, that's a.
Oh, yeah.
I think the one that helps elevate the show, if we're going to move on to that part, is the "No God, please no." I feel like that's like the
absolutely
moment.
I don't know. Yeah, like, I feel like maybe that's the one that Kalen was thinking we were going to say, because I can't even think of a more iconic GIF. I use it constantly.
It is extremely good. The only other one I'd say for that I've seen a lot that's very useful is the one where, I forget the exact episode, but it's when Dwight goes like, ha, 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 and they put the words yes, like every time he hits the elbows. Yes. You know what I'm talking
about? It's a special project in season 8.
Yeah, yes. That's when he's going to Andy brings him in.
Yes.
That one's great. If someone's not texting you back, I just use Dwight when he's in the corner crying and he reaches out for Jim. He's not there.
That's really good. I'm using that one.
That is very good.
I like that.
Oh man, there's so many good ones. This is the one of Kevin like crossing his arms and rolling his eyes.
Or Dwight is the different people. Dwight with the different wigs.
Oh, that's a great one. Mm-hmm. I like Michael Scott saying, "I'm okay." No, I'm not.
No, I'm not.
He has a few. Oh, the when Michael looks at Toby when they're counseling, and he's like,
"Yeah,
mm-hmm." Like that's a lot of people.
I see that one a lot.
Yeah. I see that on Twitter a lot when it's like some bad tweet.
Tell me more. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Office gifts.
There's so many good ones. Send us your favorites. You listening at home, send us your favorite office gifts. I know that there's still more out there.
No context, just on Twitter. Send us a gif.
Oh, yeah. If anyone ever talks about pizza in a text, I like to send the one where Stanley pulls the pizza slice out of his.
out of the pyramid.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, all right. All right.
Voicemails?
Yeah, let's do a voicemail.
More? Okay, cool. I do want to do one really quick thing here in the conference room. We, I don't know if the last episode or two episodes, we sent people to find out what game Toby was playing at Jim's party, and it was an old Call of Duty, it turns out. Mm-hmm. So
Call of Duty. They talked about it on Office Ladies as well.
That's right. They talked about it, and people relayed that to us, as they are wont to do. Okay, here's a voicemail from Alyssa.
Hey guys, this is Alyssa calling from Nashville, Tennessee. I just listened to your recent voicemail episode, and you said not to be offended if you don't get to someone's voicemail, but I would like to let you know that I am offended because I've called before. Oh, no. But I'm gonna let it go. I had a question. I wanted to know if you guys were to give each other a Dundee Award, what would the awards be and who would be getting them? Thanks for doing the show, and look forward to hearing your answer.
Awesome. That's a great question. What Dundee Awards would we give each other?
Now, is this existing Dundee Awards that Michael has given, or are we creating new ones?
I think they could be either.
Yeah.
I don't know. How did you guys think about this question?
I'm going to definitely give Edwin White his sneakers award.
I was going to do that too.
Beat you.
I was going to do that three.
I was like, oh, why do sneakers go to Edwin for sure? Just like.
Alex, your mom of the year.
Yes. Sean, you get hottest in the office. Good job, bud.
I mean, what's even the criteria?
I don't even know what it means. Edwin, I was going to give you not just whitest sneakers, but just cleanest fit overall.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Justin, like,
you know, I got to get my fit off.
You just got the clean fit, just dripping, bro.
Edwin's always got fabulous shoes.
It's always a pleasure. And I'm giving hottest in the office to Sean.
That's there so you sweet. Go. Thanks, bud.
Hey, you know, or it was between that or cutest redhead.
Oh. All right. Alex, are you a redhead?
No.
Are you are you like dirty blonde or?
Yeah, baby.
I'm giving you cutest dirty blonde then.
Thanks. There's a little copper in the beard. Maybe that's why. I'm a redhead, but.
No. We got a little bit of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Alex, I would have given you Busiest Beaver because you have to do all the editing work.
Yes.
Ah. And now that I've grown my beard out, I can be Bushiest Beaver. Oh, thanks, yeah. Guys.
I'm going to give you Busiest Beaver and the Fine Work Award, which is what Stanley gets.
Well, thank you. I would also, Sean, you can also have Best Dundies Host. That D'Angelo got because you host the show.
Nice. Thank you.
I was also going to give Sean the Fine Work Award. So this instead, I will give you the Spicy Curry Award.
Yeah. I give myself the Extreme Repulsiveness Award.
And the Don't Go In There After Him Award.
And the Doobie Doobie Pothead Stoner of the Year Award.
Dang it. That's what they should have given you, Sean. Damn it. All right. Sorry. You've lost Hottest in the Office. Doobie Doobie Stoner.
It's fair. Oh, gosh.
Well, thank you, Alyssa. That was fun. It's fun to think
about. It's a great one.
It's a good one to think about.
Fun one.
All right. Let's go on to... another voicemail. Another voicemail from Anthony.
Hi, this is Anthony from Salt Lake City, Utah. We were talking about the Desert Island movies. I was thinking, why do you think they never made an Office movie? And what would it be like? I just thought about that, thought I would call. I love the show, kept up with it ever since I first started watching it. Keep it going, guys. Bye.
Nice. Thanks, Anthony.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
Why did they never make an Office movie? And what would it have been?
Impulsivity
like?
And attention to detail.
Impossible. He opened it like an eight. Okay.
You don't think threat level, the full threat level midnight doesn't count?
The full threat level midnight, sure. That is what I picture when I think of Office movie. I don't know. It would be, I mean, it's like, we have several hour-long episodes, so it wouldn't be that much. It's just tough. It's tough to do movies, like, based on sitcoms. You know what I mean? Like, because the movie would just have to have one situation happening, and all of a sudden then it would just feel like an episode of television, even if it was 2 hours long.
If you could get, we talked about casting Office people in different genres, and like if you could do that, then you could bring it together in that way. Like if you did the heist thing.
Yeah, that would be really neat.
We talked about in the reunion special, if we were like, if we did a reunion, what would it be? And I talked about Michael and Holly's wedding, or like Michael invites everyone to the wedding, but he there's something about like setting up the wedding, or he hasn't done any work yet to make the wedding happen, and so he ends up bringing everyone from the office out there, sets up a temporary office, and has all of them make his wedding, like work for him to make his wedding. So you get like a little office, you have Michael back in charge, and you have it ends with the wedding and all the shenanigans that happen. It could be one way to play it. But
that would be a good one. That would be a good one. I am also just sitting here trying to think of times when this has actually worked. I can only really think of Strangers with Candy is...
I love Strangers with Candy.
It's Amy Sedaris and all these incredible people like Jon Stewart. Stephen Colbert. That's it. And
Chris Pratt,
they had a TV show. Oh, yeah, that's right. That was a TV show for 2-3 seasons. And then they made a movie. And the movie's spectacular. And it was like they put a little bit more like it was like a little bit better quality production and all that type of stuff. I mean, in a way, it's like they end up repeating a lot of the jokes and scenarios from the TV show, because I think they're. What was happening there was like a lot of people hadn't seen the show before, but also that's just a plug for Strangers with Candy. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's a great show.
I mean, I think the reason they didn't make an Office movie was because the way the show timed out with Steve Carell's exit, like it didn't set itself up for a true Office movie in the way that I think we all would have loved, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a line in Community, right? 6 seasons in a movie. They like joke about that.
Right.
I will say I recently watched the Fresh Prince reunion special on HBO.
Oh. How is it?
You're a big Fresh Prince. Oh, it's so good. If you're a Fresh Prince fan, and I certainly am, it is absolutely worth checking out. But I would love to see The Office do something like that, because they don't necessarily like play their old characters, but they talk about the show and like it would be nice to see something like that for The Office.
It would be. Yeah. Thank you, Anthony. An Office movie. All right. Are we good on messages?
Oh, sorry. One more.
Okay.
He had no arms or legs. He could not see, hear, or speak. This is how he led a nation.
Now that's a movie I want to see.
Write that movie. Someone write that. All right. One last voicemail here from Tori.
Hey, guys. I'm calling from Reno, Nevada. My name is Tori, originally from North Carolina. And I was just calling to tell you guys that you owe my cat an apology. I was listening to the most recent episode about costume party. I had my headphones on, heard the cat meowing in the background, yelled at my cat to shut up several times, and then you guys commented on the fact that it was the rescue and et cetera. So you guys owe my cats an apology. I apologize, but you guys have to. Love the pod. Keep doing it. Have a great night.
Thank you, Tori, and I will apologize personally to your cat.
Yeah, because can we get a Yumi?
My cat, Yumi.
I state my regret.
Yeah, we live in an apartment building, and sometimes our neighbor lets his rabbit out into the hallway, and so Yumi and the rabbit have become friends. But
that sounds adorable.
It is adorable. It's really fun. But now if anything is happening in the hallway, she's going to just stand at the door and meow. So that's what was happening the other day. But yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah.
Oh, that's Yumi.
That's what's going on with Yumi. Yeah. I think she's sick of our little apartment, but we're probably moving into a house soon. So. She'll have
probably
stairs to run
for sure.
Yeah, no. It's happening. It's almost close. Oh, almost closing. Excited. Yeah.
Sean's going to be closer to me and further from Edwin. I love it.
It's going to be great. Awesome. Hey, just to wrap up the conference room, I thought I'd mention there's a new show on Netflix called We Are the Champions, and it is narrated by Rainn Wilson.
I didn't know that.
I only watched the first episode, but you, Alex, you said you've seen a little bit more of it.
I've just seen the first two.
Okay. Yeah. But anyways,
I'm loving it so far.
It's
and
great.
He is such a, at first it was like, that's great. That's gotta be Rainn Wilson. And my girlfriend was like, maybe because it was like a lot deeper and it's like, well, he's just older. And so his voice is a lot deeper.
Yeah.
But when it's him, I was like, that's kind of a weird fit. But then you realize, well, he's one of the executive producers of the show. And then his voice, his energy is perfect for like, we're going to take this competition very seriously. It's like this very silly, like the one about chili peppers is like, I think the prize money is $1,000 for like the world chili pepper eating contest, which is like so little. And it's like that people fly from all over the world to do it. And it's like, it actually helps to have his voice. It makes it feel important. Like it's just like Dwight would take this seriously.
Oh, totally. He's a great person for it. Yeah. It's a docuseries where they just pick unique competitions around the world to cover for each episode. And it's really funny and fun. So check that out. Also, just a reminder, the end is nigh. The Office is leaving Netflix in January 2021. So, it was like a year ago that we first found out about that, but man, it's coming up. What are you guys gonna do? Edwin's got them all on DVD.
I do. I've got the years. Yeah.
Are you gonna do DVD or are you gonna just?
Are you gonna get?
It's gotta be too much of a hassle to put in DVDs, right?
You mean to get up from the couch to the TV?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it'll go to Peacock, which is free, and
you're right. You just have to watch ads.
Yeah. Okay. But I don't know how they're going to set it up on Peacock. I mean, I do have the DVDs that are always good for reference. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it wouldn't be. The other thing too is like, I've had the DVDs from when they came out, but they aren't, you know, I've watched them many times. So they're not in like perfect condition. That's the mm-hmm. funny thing about DVDs and physical media like that is that it can't deteriorate. Mm-hmm. So might have to get a backup set or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, just a reminder for all our listeners out there, you got to figure it out soon. And get your binge on
coming up, man.
Before that happens. Anything else?
I'm curious to see what happens if, like, listenership in our show with the numbers, if it goes up, down.
Oh, no.
Is it going to, are less people going to watch it if it's just not on Netflix? Hmm. How many people?
I think that's probably the case. I mean, I think that'll be, just because it's going to be harder to watch and a lot less immediate.
Yeah.
You know, true. I think, I mean, I'm guessing here, but I imagine that Netflix is the most ubiquitous streaming service.
Definitely.
If I know anything about youth, and I do, I would guess that when the next generation of fans are like the kids who've been watching The Office, high schoolers who've been watching The Office the last few years are going to talk about this era later on of like, oh, remember when The Office was just on Netflix and we just watched it all the time? I haven't seen that. I haven't watched The Office since it left Netflix. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that happening. I could feel like. It's not on Netflix, and
you mean
kids
the way
are coming in.
The way I talk about how I used to be able to just watch it on YouTube. Yeah, like in the early days of YouTube. I do think when it's funny. I was listening to John Mulaney was on a podcast, and he was talking about the Sack Lunch Bunch, those specials.
Oh, yeah.
And how, like, when he's on set with the kids, they just watch The Office on their phones all day long.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was so interesting.
But, that's hilarious. Wow. Let's move on to a little trivia.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home. Woo!
So this trivia was sent to us by Bryn. Thank you very much, Bryn. All right, guys, I think I skimmed this one. It looks hard. So here we go.
That's what she said.
Question one. In the episode The Search, what is Dwight's car full of?
Pelts?
Close.
Skins? I don't know.
Fox meat.
Oh,
fox meat.
I'm also thinking of the line where he's like, you will find a number of pelts. Under the smallest pelt, you will find. Yeah.
question two. Also in The Search, what type of face does Dwight say Michael has?
Marsupial.
Yes, that's right.
Broad face of a brewer.
What is Dwight's great uncle's name?
Honk.
Yep.
Honk.
We covered that one in the episode earlier. What is the most well-known film in the cinema of the unsettling genre?
Oh, it's like a medical video or something.
Yeah.
It's like a 2-hour shot of
yes.
Some procedure.
Surgery,
right?
Or something like that.
You're close. But it's an hour-long video of a squirrel with diarrhea. In the cold open of trivia, the whole office is trying to be quiet. Jim walks out of the kitchen. What does he hand Stanley?
His coffee?
Yeah. Or a candy bar or something like that?
A cup of orange juice.
Huh.
Okay.
In the test...
For his blood sugar, I assume.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Now I only like baklava.
In Test the Store, what is the name of the girl who punches Andy in the parking lot?
Tiffy.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
What
and she's
are
going to college?
That's right. Tiffy.
My friend uses
you
your
do good
paper.
Work.
Yeah. You do good work. What are the three languages Aaron tries to learn?
Dothraki.
Italian, Dothraki, and
French,
yes, that's correct. Question eight. Who are the two people Andy accidentally calls dad?
Robert California.
Yes. And one other guy.
David Wallace?
No.
Does it say it to Charles Minor?
No.
Daryl.
It's a It's a one episode character.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Well, give us a hint. What season? What?
He is. It's one episode character. I think it's season 8.
Is it the? It's not the guy from the boat.
It is. It's the guy from the boat because he keeps slapping
Andrew
his
Santino.
Hand.
Andrew Santino.
Yeah.
The guy from. He's in Dave.
He is in Dave. That's right. Yeah. Oh man. Mm-hmm. Forgot that. Okay.
Hi, Dave.
Question 9. In Suit Warehouse, what is Nelly's favorite and least favorite espresso flavor?
It's like Peruvian sunrise.
Her favorite is Viennese amaretto.
Okay.
And her least favorite is Alpine Select. We'll have to remember that one. That is a tough. That's a tough trivia question.
That's
Rin.
Tough, man.
But good. I mean, these are. I love when they're really detailed questions like this because they could totally get you at a real trivia.
That would be the super deep cut trivia name: Alpine Select.
Viennese amaretto is definitely. Okay. Here we go. Final question. Finish this Dwight quote. Customer loyalty. What is it? Can you hold it in your hand? Can you nudge it with your finger? Blank.
It's like, no, you have to grab it, right? Or, I don't know.
It's a third question. Can you hold it in your hand? Can you nudge it with your finger? Can you...
I don't know, poke it with a stick. I don't know what it is.
Can you reanimate it in your barn?
Can you dump it on a woman?
What?
I have to be honest, I don't even remember when this quote occurs, but that is a great one. Customer loyalty. What is it? Can you hold it in your hand? Can you nudge it with your finger? Can you dump it on a woman? Bryn, thank you so much for sending in that trivia. That's a great one. You stumped the guys on a couple of questions. Nice work. If you are a listener and you have some trivia that you'd like to share with us, email us, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. Give us a call if you want to leave us a voicemail. That's 503-694-9314. We're on Facebook and Instagram, Michael Scott Podcast Company. We have a website, michaelscottpod.com. And you can also join us on Patreon for $5 a month, patreon.com/Michael Scott. Join us on there. We do an extra episode every month of an extra mailbag episode. And we answer nearly every single question that we get on there, and it helps support the show. It helps us keep doing what we're doing, and we also do a donation to the Thurgood Marshall College Fund every month. So
$330 this month.
Holy moly. Jeez. That's great. Yeah. Yeah. We let it.
Oh, and I think because our donations hit a certain amount, they're sending me a t-shirt. So I'm keeping that t-shirt, but we have a t-shirt from
them. Oh, nice. Sweet.
So is it just
a Patreon?
We'll wear it for a week and then I'll mail it to one of you guys. It'll be like a Stanley Cup. We'll just pass around our Thurgood Marshall t-shirt.
Maybe in enough time we'll get a t-shirt for each one of us and for each one of our Patreon supporters, our Scott's Tots, as we like to call them. So join us on there. We do a little extra. I think we did 2 episodes last month on there. So please check us out on there if you want some more content. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who helps us with our social media and designs all our artwork. This episode was recorded in Portland, Oregon, over video chat.
Thank you, as always, for hanging out with us for a little bit, for listening and for helping us keep the show going. We love doing it, and I think we're excited to get back to our regular cadence here pretty soon. Join us on Patreon. Take care. Stay safe. We'll see you next week.
Pippity poppy, give me the zobbity.
Yes, sir.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen.
Excellent.